The following programming is sponsored by Mark Salvasian, Esquire. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
This is Liberty Bell Smack with your hosts, Mark Mancini, Sal Tartaglia, and Marianne Castello. Talking everything sports, everything Philly style. Liberty Bell Smack, right here, right now.
You are listening to Liberty Bell Smack right here on WWDB AM Talk 860. It is the lip smack in trash talking good Philadelphia style every Thursday evening from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's prime time drive time in the East. And you can listen five ways, whichever works best for you. You can tune into WWDB AM Talk 860. If you're not in Philadelphia or the airwaves have gone dark, you can still listen to us on HD2 radio station 97.5 or listen to us anytime, anywhere by downloading WWDB radio app or go to WWDBAM.com and click listen live. And you can call or listen or talk to us and our guests today at 888-329-3306. I am your host, Marianne Castello, and we're going to bring in our host. He's waiting patiently. He is a broadcast vet, born in Pittsburgh, but raised in sunny LA. You know him from his years in the ring with Extreme Professional Wrestling on TV. He's got over 17 years behind the mic from San Diego to Los Angeles with SiriusXM, the SB Nation American Forces Network, and now Philly on WWDBAM. As well as the Saucy Spin online radio show and the Breaking It Down podcast. If it's sports, he's done it, or he knows all about it. Let's welcome our host, Mr. Mark Mancini. Hey, Mark.
Got the best moderator in the business, and you in Philadelphia, Marianne. Move everybody else aside. You are the bar. I'm feeling good. Cheesesteaks from Geno's, the Rocky statue, the links here. Man, where the heck is the spectrum? Somewhere out there in yonder. But I'm feeling good. I'm excited about our guest today. And Sal had some good news, baby. The freight's paid all the way to March with another sponsor.
I know. And speaking of him, he's waiting for us right in that center of brotherly love. He is a product of the schools and playing fields of Drexel Hills, Delaware County, by way of Southwest Philadelphia. He's been in the Navy. He's been in the construction industry and was a nuclear medicine tech. And while doing all of this, he even had time to compile over 30 years of highlights and stats of World Series games and published his first book, The World Series Chronology. While doing press for the book, he developed a taste for broadcasting. And here he is. Let's welcome our host, Sal Tartaglia. Hey, Sal. And the gremlins got him again.
Man, come on. Now I can't
it is so funny. It is after a while. But he's sitting in the city of brotherly love, and we just heard him a few minutes ago, so I know he'll get it together.
He looks like an offensive coordinator. He's trying to get the players to get off the field.
And speaking of that, it could actually, hurt your car, smack you up, right? So what I do know is that Sal has a friend at JT Auto Body. So for superior auto body repair at very reasonable prices, you could bring your damaged vehicle to JT Auto Body, located at 416 Primos Road in Fallcroft, Pennsylvania. Call 610-534-1643 for expert work performed by owner Joey Turner and his staff certified technician. Again, that number is 610-534-1643. See, now he looks like he's getting a little smacked up, if you could see him.
Well, they're not seeing his hand signals. It's frustrating. The Eagles got beat. Now he's trying to coach somebody up out there. He's going to get up. I just hope he just doesn't break nothing.
Well, let's hope not. But in the meantime, while he's getting himself settled, I know we have our first guest waiting in the green room. So we're going to get right to it. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. He is an award-winning head baseball coach, a professional baseball scout, TV radio personality, author, and founder and CEO of CR Enterprises with over two decades of experience in professional baseball. He attended his first Pittsburgh Pirates game on August 19, 1973, at the tender age of 8, and knew he wanted to work in professional baseball for the rest of his life. And that he has. He started as an assistant coach for Quaker Valley, and by the age of 23, he became the head baseball coach at Quaker Valley, making him the youngest coach in the WPIAL. He then found his way to Penn State Beaver campus as an assistant coach, and within one quick year became the head coach, which he took the team to a championship victory. For a short time, he coached at the Community College of Beaver County and Duquesne University in Pittsburgh. In January 2001, he was hired as a professional baseball scout for Global Scouting Bureau and was named general manager in 2002 and currently active in both positions, successfully signing 62 players to pro baseball contracts in organizations around the world. By 2005, he was named head coach at Carnegie Mellon University, winning two conference titles. His career accolades include being inducted into three Halls of Fame, Carnegie Mellon University Baseball Hall of Fame in 2011, in 2016 to the Pittsburgh Steel City Sports Hall of Fame and Pittsburgh Sportsline Hall of Fame in 2020. He is the recipient of the Willie Stargell MVP Lifetime Achievement Award in 2011 and the National Italian American Sports Hall of Fame Coach of the Year for the Pittsburgh chapter in 2016. He operates the Claudio Ralsano Hitting Camps, providing hands-on hitting instructions and online hitting lessons for players for all levels. His enthusiasm for sports led him in other fields. He is the co-host of Steel City Sports World and Pittsburgh's only TV boxing show, Pittsburgh's Ring Talk. Currently has a new boxing show, The Boxing Authorities, that can be seen on Live Vive TV Network and his own podcast, The Claudio Ralsano Sports Show, where he interviews many former Pittsburgh Pirates and Steelers, players of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and some of today's best-known Super Bowl-winning coaches, Hall of Fame boxers, and legendary players from other teams with huge followings. His show can be heard on Podbean, and he has joined Lee Davis and Associates to form the Legends Division, providing celebrity placement for speaking engagements, autograph shows, product endorsements, and so much more. His fascinating story has been included in two books, including You Can Be Invincible by former Philadelphia Eagle Vince Papale, and was the subject of the movie Invincible. In October 2020, he authored his own book titled Lead from the Heart Up, Not the Neck Up, that teaches you how to create a positive winning culture on the field and in the office. He is a motivational speaker, even owns his own landscaping business, and has been a resident of Suckley, Pennsylvania his entire life. In fact, in the same house. And now he is in Philly's number one house. Let's welcome Claudio Ralsano to Liberty Bell Smack. Hey, Claudio.
Well, I've done a lot. I didn't realize I did so much.
Getting hot in here.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you. It's my pleasure to be on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow. Hey, Claudio, I don't even know where to start. Let's just take it with the Carnegie Mellon, a well-known university, 16 seasons there since pretty much 2005, going, you know, another season, two conference championships. That's pretty impressive in more ways than one, my brother.
Well, considering that before I got there, they hadn't had a winning season in about 40 years, we've done well. I've had some great young men who were very good baseball players to make all that happen. And the great thing is I keep in touch with so many of the other players from the other schools as well, but especially from Carnegie Mellon. And just a blessing to be there. And I hope I can be there another 16 years.
You know, when you look at that, what was the first thing you had to change when you got in there? I know everybody that comes through the door has their own way of changing up things and working with the kids and getting the buy into a system. What was the secret and what did you follow to turn that whole program around? Because it's just now you've set the bar so high over there now, and it's going to be tough when you move on to go on to greener pastures down the line. Who knows, for somebody to follow that up. What's the secret of that?
Well, hopefully, like I said, I can be there another 16 years if they want me. But I wanted to change the culture that winning mattered, that our program mattered. To be honest with you, whenever I coached anywhere else, Marianne had mentioned Carnegie Mellon or Community College Beaver County and Penn State Beaver. When I was head coach there, the first teams that I would call for non-conference games was Carnegie Mellon, because those were, to be honest with you, easy wins. When I got there, I said, that's not going to happen anymore. Nobody's going to call us, okay, because it's going to be an easy win. And that's the case. And in order to have something like that, you have to have the players who and the people who listen and who want it. I mean, I can be the greatest coach in the world. If you have a bunch of guys with bad attitudes, you end up fighting with them or getting rid of them or whatever the case is. You can't recruit at CMU because of it's hard to get in. I basically get what I get and try to make the best of it. And like I said, I've had some wonderful people to coach. Matter of fact, Jimmy Stedman, who lives in Philadelphia, James Langhauser, who lives in Philadelphia area as well. I got to tell him about the show, but those are two great guys on the field and off, but people like that are the reason why we turned it around. And whatever it is I did, but I enjoy it. Like I cannot tell you. And I was a little apprehensive of taking the job at first because of the losing track record. And I said, geez, that's going to be a hell of a task. But thank God I took it. And like I said, it's been a dream for me to coach there.
Unbelievable. Sal?
Yeah, Claudio,
I think we got a little bit of a technical problem, so I'll just continue it. Claudio, when I look at talent's impressive, but I look at character more so than talent. How important is that to you when you're evaluating these kids today?
Well, I always say this. If I don't want to look at my watch and say, man, we got practice at 6:00, I don't want to see this guy or that guy. Nor do I want them to say that about me. I want good people to coach. Even as a professional baseball scout, I've seen some players who were really good ball players, really good. But I wouldn't want to coach them. So I'm not going to pass their name on. Somebody else can, that's fine. I'm not going to pass their name on to another coach, regardless of their talent. So for me, you know, the old real estate saying is what? The three most important things in real estate are good location, good location, good location. I say the three most important things in business and in sports and really in life are good people, good people, good people. If you have good people, you have a shot to do something. And like I said, I've had great people to coach, and that's going to continue to be the case. Like, for example, this year, this fall, we have a fall season in 2021. We hadn't had a game since October of 19 because of the pandemic. So this team didn't know me and I didn't know them. And it took a little bit of time for us to get to know each other. And to be very honest with you, I was probably hard. This was the youngest team I ever coached. And I only had like 2-3 returning players. And I really, whenever I coach, I'm very passionate. I'm Italian. I go after it hard, from the heart up, not the neck up. I'm very passionate about it. I'm more like a basketball coach than I'm a baseball coach, right? So, you know, you try to wring every bit of energy out of them and try to fix things and try to motivate and everything, right? And once we lost 3 games in a row, we got off to a hot start. We lost 3 games in a row by 1 run, 2 runs, and 1 run. So this was on my birthday. So the third game we lost, I remember going to my briefcase in the corner of the dugout, and I looked behind me, there was no players there. I said, I really pushed them this year. I really maybe was a little bit too much, right? Then they came back. They had a birthday cake. They said, Coach, we know you're upset, so we're not going to see you, but here's a cake. Happy birthday. I have special people, always.
Well, you know, when you look at it, the recruiting, you look at the Northeast. I know it's, you know, the West and the South have an advantage during the winter. They can train pretty much 365 days a year. The recruitment coming into, Western Pennsylvania, how is it to compete for some of these Sunbelt kids coming up through the South or even the West? I mean, I'd play for the Pittsburgh team out there with you anytime at Carnegie Mellon, but what's the recruiting magic to get these kids to buy into that system in the Northeast?
Again, 15% acceptance rate, SATs, 1360 to 1450, SATs, 33 to 35, something like that. It's incredibly hard to get in, hard to stay in. So to be very honest with you, I guess the past year and a half has been the most that I've been talking to players to come to CMU. But for me to actively recruit, I get scouts all the time telling me, hey, I got this kid from San Antonio. He's batting 529. Yeah, that's great. what are his SATs? What are his, what's his GPA? You know, you need a 3.69 plus. So I always call CMU an Ivy League school in Pittsburgh is what it is. So recruiting, for me to intentionally go out and recruit just yet, right now, is a little bit tough. So I get what I get, try to make the best of it. But I've had some stud players. I really have. And I think one of the reasons why is because the very, very good player wants to come to a program that's taken seriously, that it matters. Okay. And I have two rules at CMU. And I said this the very first day of practice back in August of 2005. Got two rules. Number one, never disrespect me. That's a must. Never disrespect me. Number two, care for this program. Whatever is under that umbrella of caring, care for it. And I've had guys that care for it. And because of that, because they it means so much to them. I had a kid, Brian Tabata, who he named an award after, the toughest player on the team type thing. He was my catcher. He caught every game. Well, he cracked an eye socket. He fouled, tipped the ball, he cracked an eye socket. So we're in the emergency room and we're waiting 3, 4, 5 hours. He looks at his watch, says, "Coach, we got to get out of here because we have an early game tomorrow." I said, "Brian, you're not playing." But that's the type of guy you want. And you want the guys who want to go through a wall for you. And again, I got to say, you need good people. And I have super people. And so I say that I get what I get and make the best of it. Yeah, but I get some quality people for sure.
Lunch pail mentality, baby. Sal, you're up.
Yeah, Claudio. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, the Italian connection, baby.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Fatal four-way.
You have been coaching and scouting for a total of 31 years. You began coaching when you were 18.
38.
Oh, okay. Other than your time at CMU, did you have any signings of note? And have you coached any players that went on to the majors?
I've had three or four guys from Carnegie Mellon that could have played professional baseball. I could have gotten them signed, but they chose, instead of going to the minor leagues for $800-$900, $1,000 a month, to go make six figures elsewhere, right? In their job. As far as our company, the Global Scouting Bureau, and not because I work there, but to me, it is the best company out there to assist in player signings. But you said notable names. I got a quick story for you. 2003, I look at our registration list, and there was a guy named John Henry Williams who lived on Ted Williams Boulevard. And I said, yeah, because sometimes you get these people who have nothing better to do and say, you know, Alex Rodriguez is coming to your tryout camp. Meanwhile, you know, it's a joke, right? So I get to the field, and there's John Henry Williams, Ted Williams' son. So long story short, I signed him to a professional contract with a team in the Southeastern League, which is an independent league team. But let me go back before that. It was the July of 1999, and I was in my room watching the All-Star game, the 1999 All-Star game out of Fenway Park, okay? And this is something for your listeners to really listen to. They had this great ceremony of the former All-Stars of Major League Baseball and the current All-Stars of Major League Baseball. And it was just a great celebration. Everybody's hugging each other. And the guys that we grew up watching, I'm watching these guys. And then all of a sudden, Ted Williams comes in. They bring him in with a golf cart, him and his son. They come into a golf cart. And then the boss, Fenway, goes crazy. And I'm enjoying the moment. But then all of a sudden, I got really sad. Marianne, Sal, and Mark, because I said, I'm so far away from my dream. I was coaching at Quigley Catholic High School, which I loved, for $800 a year. I was climbing the ladder pretty quick, got to Division I. I left Duquesne University. Then I was out of it for 2 years, and I was at Quigley Catholic High School for $800 a year. And I'm watching this program stand. I'm as far as possible from that. I was very depressed. Fast forward to 2 years later, okay, January 2001, I get the pro scouting job, then GM. And then fast forward to 2003, I signed that kid who was on that show with his dad, Ted Williams' son, John Henry Williams.
Wow.
So, yeah, things can happen. There's a few stories like that if we have time I'll get to, but that always sticks with me. And sometimes when I do a speaking engagement, that's one of the topics. things can happen in life.
And that's right. Things can happen every day in life right here on WWDB Talk 860 right out of Philadelphia. You are listening to Liberty Bell Smack. And if you want to drop us a line, we love opinions. We love everything. So do that at libertybellsmack@gmail.com. And if you want to call in and talk to our guests, you can do so at 888-329-3306. Back to you, Sal.
Yeah, Claudio, the title of your book, that was a quote that your mom, Ida, had given you as a youngster. Yeah, that's very nice. And, you know, Mancini plagiarizes your quote that they won't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I hear that all the time. And that's a great quote. That's a great quote.
You know where I got that quote? Dick Vermeil.
Okay.
Who was a guest on my show and just a... so much impact in my life that guy has had on me. And I told him many times, sometimes I'll just shoot him a text and say, hey, thank you for the email. Thank you for the impact. But, and the title of the book, my mom used to say, never speak from the neck up, speak from the heart up. In other words, care, passionate. I turned that around on how I coach. You know, I lay it out there and my players know how I feel, good or bad. I'll laugh. I'll be upset. I'll shed some tears, whatever, you know, I would say this, if it's cold out like today, I'll wear a jacket, turtleneck, right? If it's hot, I'll wear a t-shirt. If it's raining, I'll put up an umbrella, whatever the situation calls for. I do. That's just me. I lay it out. But that my mom used to always tell me that quote, my parents were full of, if I dropped a pencil, there was a quote behind it and a story behind it. And I hear myself whenever I tell my daughter or do interviews or talk to my team. You know, they love my analogies or my quotes, but it all, every single thing stems from my parents. There's an old saying, another old Italian saying, if you ever see a turtle on top of a fence post, you know, he didn't get there alone.
the older I get,
wherever it is I'm at, or, you know, if it was not for my parents, about 10 feet from where I'm sitting right now, Marianne mentioned August 19th, 1973. I was 8 years old, never been to a Pirate game. My uncle used to work there, so he took me to my first game, and that's when I knew what I wanted to do. I came home, and about 10 feet from here, my dad said, did you have a good time? My dad, Olindo. I said, I did. I said, but I think I know what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. He said, what's that? I said, I want to be in professional baseball. He didn't laugh at me. He didn't scoff me away. He said, okay, if that's what you want to do, and I get choked up even thinking about it. This is 1,000 years ago. Me and your mom will do everything we can to make your dreams come true. And my mom said, as long as you're a good boy and you know, and all that. And she was so supportive and God, I miss my parents every day. My mom passed when she was only 48, 33 years ago. My dad, it'll be 18 years next month that he passed away. Wow. And, but if it wasn't for them, guaranteed, I wouldn't be talking to you, wouldn't have any of these plaques back here, nothing, guaranteed.
The older I get, the smarter my parents become. And that word care is so powerful. And so, rather than preach and lecture my son when he was going out as a young teen, I would put it in a nutshell. And I just said, just remember, whatever you do, care, because then you can't mess up. I believe I wanted to discuss some of your excerpts in your book, but I think Mayor has a station break, if I'm not mistaken. And then we'll get back to that excerpt.
Well, yes. And if you are just tuning in, you are listening to WWDB AM Talk 860 every Thursday night, Liberty Bell Smack. We are here with you with Sal and Marianne and Mark every single week with great guests doing the lip smack and trash talking good Philadelphia style. And if you're just tuning in, you could also see us on Facebook Live on WWDB or right on the Liberty Bell Smack page. Hope you're watching in. Go ahead, Sal.
Yeah, Claudio, excerpt from chapter 5, Music to the Ears. In 1993, you let a player leave practice a little early because he had a concert to attend with some friends, and you let him go. And then after you thought, you know, I don't want him to think, you know, we're cutting corners here, that practice isn't important. So you sent him a text explaining, you know, not to discount the importance of practice and the importance of team, but he, the individual, was also important. And of course, he came back the next day and practiced even harder. So your honey versus vinegar approach really worked especially with these young men. They want to win for their coach, and they want to do things for you. And it begs the question, why do they listen so well? And your answer was that you're approachable. And again, here's that word, and that you care. So I just wanted to touch on that honey versus vinegar.
Well, yeah, that was in 93, and it also in 2019. Obviously, two different kids, but it was the exact same scenario. And, you know, it was just my way of telling them, hey, I appreciate how hard you work. I appreciate you as a person. And, yeah, go to the concert. Because I knew that those guys wouldn't say, oh, this guy, we can walk on him. No, I knew that wasn't going to happen, nor would I allow it to happen. But that's not the type of guys that they were. And, you know, some of these coaches, oh, you missed one day. Oh, my God, get the hell out of here. You see, you hit some of these football coaches. They say they're in the office for 17 hours and it's 4th and 5 and they throw a 1 yard pattern. You spend 17 hours in the office for that call. Come on. So, you know, it wasn't going to kill. Nobody died that they went to that concert. Again, I didn't want them to rush because God forbid they could get into an accident. And we don't want that. So and you know what else? They appreciated it. They appreciated it. And they did come back even harder and try even harder. And again, you know, I'm going to be speaking to a company here in Pittsburgh in a couple weeks. And I guess there's some culture issues or something like that. And that's going to be one of the things I'm going to be talking about. Are the managers, are you approachable? And do they know that you care? And do you care? And do you talk to these guys? Matter of fact, like I said, the past two nights, yesterday, I had a young man that I haven't coached since 2018. And I'm going to try to get him some customers for his business. Then I talked to another kid about three evenings ago, and you know he's having some things. And I haven't coached him since 2009 or 10. My best friend Vince Kaplak, I coached him back in 1988. My other best friend Nick Kaplak, his brother, 1989. So again, they know I'm the coach. I don't have to keep telling them, "Hey, you listen to me. I'm the coach." They know I'm the coach. You know, so. It works. But again, you have to have good people on the other side too.
Right. We have good people in our show tonight. That I can absolutely tell you. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to WWDB Talk AM 860 Liberty Bell Smack. And Sal, I know that you're sitting there so patiently because I know that you have friends all over Philly and I want to hear about yours today.
JT Auto Body. Located in Fulcroft at 416 Primus Avenue, will make you think that your car never had any dents. Owner Joey Trainer has assembled a championship team of certified technicians that will have your car back to you operating safely with that showroom look. Call them at 610-534-1643 and tell them Sal sent you.
Yes, and speaking of body work, we have somebody coming up right now. He's been sitting in the green room as well. He is a radio and TV sports personality for over 13 years and now recently known as the Rolex Reporter. He studied at the Kinetic School of Sports Broadcasting, studying sports journalism and broadcasting. He was the co-host of Sports Explosion on the Sports Mob at CBS Radio Sports 1010 AM from 2008 to 2011. He was the DJ and the producer of the Sports Talk radio show at WTAN 1340 AM radio in Clearwater, Florida for over 7 years. He is the former host and analyst of the Bucks Report, responsible for all forms of coverage of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers NFL team. He was a former reporter for Champa Bay TV on NSPN, which is a network which is an unparalleled merger between sports media, broadcasting production, marketing management, and entertainment, strategically designed to form a one-of-a-kind sports-based powerhouse. And currently, he is the primary host of The Sports Web, the evolution of sports talk television on NSPN, that's Next Gen Sports Media, I Love St. Pete, and The Hub, talking Tampa Bay Buccaneers, NFL, and whatever else in the sports world. He is the Florida representative for Policy Scout, a sales and lead generation entity for businesses and individuals. While he's sitting in the Sunshine State in Tampa and St. Petersburg area, Florida, sporting his new Rolex watch, he's making his debut in the wintry landscape of Philly. Let's have a big Liberty Bell welcome to Peter Blake. Hey, Peter.
Yeah, brother.
What's going on, guys? How are you doing?
We're doing good. How are you?
Hey, Peter, first thing.
Yes.
Do not let the people of Philadelphia know your location in Tampa. They're going to come and try to find that Rolex.
I think you're absolutely right about that. And I've kind of not told anybody around the Tampa Bay area that either. So, especially when I got it appraised, but it's good to be here, guys. And I'm no longer with NSPN. It's just, I love St. Pete and the Hub. We're just moving on at this point. And I'm just glad to be a part of this show and talk some Bucks and talk some sports in general.
Hey, first things first, let's talk about the Rolex, man.
Yeah.
I saw that YouTube thing and everything. Take the listeners through Philadelphia, man. That was amazing because, you know, talking to you about it, you thought, oh, this guy, you know, just going to blow it off. And then all of a sudden, like 10 days later, you get this watch. Tell the listeners what this was all about, because I think it's impressive, to say the least.
I mean, and I wasn't even supposed to be credentialed at the time, but Showtime Boxing actually got me credentialed. TJ Reeves got me the opportunity. Get out there. It's my first boxing match. I'm watching this. You see the knockout in the sixth round. We're rushing down there. I cannot get connected to Wi-Fi at all. I'm like, I'm going to miss out on this opportunity. Finally, I get connected, get set up. I ask a couple questions to Jake Paul. I did this previously before when they had a press conference at Amalie Arena. And I ask him about Rolexes. Are you going to give, you know, your future opponents Rolexes? And he's like, yeah, you know, I think I'm going to do that. Hey, do you want a Rolex? And I was like, yeah, sure. Why not? You know, I need to upgrade or whatever, not thinking anything of it. And then he tells his manager that's right next to him, look, get his information. Logan Paul comes over, his brother, and says, hey, give me your information. So I'm like, okay, cool. And then this stuff goes viral, goes on ESPN, TikTok. And I said my name, of course, because I'm proud of it. Anytime you get a chance to say your own name and the guy who has 20 million subscribers on YouTube says it, you're like, okay, now my name is out there. Now I put myself in a great position. And then his manager, his assistant, calls my live show on the Monday night and says, look, this is Marcos. And I'm thinking, well, you know, this is a prank call. What do you want to talk about? The Bucks or what? He's like, well, I want to talk about something else. And I'm like, well, what is that? Oh, well, this is Jake Paul's assistant. We're calling you to verify your information so we can send you this Rolex. Keep in mind, guys, this Rolex is worth $12,000 to $20,000. And I'm getting it because I feel like, at the end of the day, I was at the top of my game. That's why I call myself the Rolex reporter now. Realize that. And here we are.
Unbelievable, man. Sal, I know you're there ready for some questions.
Yeah.
You ready to take that Rolex and pay the sponsorship in Philly?
Well, just briefly before I start my query, I wanted to touch on that Rolex story. When Tyson Fury fights, are you going to relay that story to him? He's my favorite boxer since Joe Frazier. I love his attitude, the Gypsy King. When you cover that fight, will you share that Rolex story with him? He might give you more.
Absolutely, I would. Tyson Fury is one of the best boxers out there. And look, I'm not the biggest boxing fan. I'm more football, baseball, basketball, hockey, of course, being down here in Tampa Bay with the Tampa Bay Lightning and of course, the Bucks and the Rays situation. But, you know, after all this, I feel like I've got to be a boxing fan. I've got to cover this on a weekly or daily basis. So if I get the opportunity again to talk to Tyson Fury, get an opportunity to talk to his brother, heck, you know, I even got a chance to interview Titus O'Neil, and I was trying to set up a WrestleMania between the Furies and, of course, the Pauls, because both of them have worked with it. If I can work that out, I'm absolutely on board with telling that story.
Get a Mercedes to go with that watch.
Why not?
Your hometown of Clearwater, and of course where you do your work is in Tampa Bay. I just was curious with respect to Clearwater being the Philly spring training site,
sure,
and Tampa being the our opponent in the 08 World Series when we defeated them. I'm just curious, is there any fan conflict? In other words, do they gravitate towards Philadelphia because of the spring training site, or, you know, are they settled in for a Tampa thing?
you know, it's always a difficulty down here to draw fans. And I don't necessarily think it's just the transplants down from up north, Philly, and of course, New York and Chicago, because they have their allegiances at the end of the day and they keep those. It's also ownership, but there's always like a mix of different fans, and especially Philly fans. When that was going on at the time, there were some actual Philly fans down here that were torn. They didn't know who they should cheer for. We got a place down the street called Delco's, which has Philly cheesesteaks. Best cheesesteak I ever had. Never been to Philadelphia. Love to come to Philadelphia and eat some cheesesteaks. But unbelievable cheesesteaks. They got root beer. They've got Philly stuff there. They've got Tampa Bay. So there was definitely some type of conflict, but there always is. That's the most difficult thing with drawing fans around here when it comes to sports. The thing that I love about you guys and Philadelphia fans is that you guys are so passionate. We say three things on the sports web: bring your passion, bring your excitement, just don't bring any nonsense. So that's my kind of town right there with the fans. I love that. Even though, look, we definitely have some history, don't we? I mean, Bucks and Eagles, NFC championship game, but I really do respect and appreciate you guys as fans up there, because you care about your sport.
Getting back to that loyalty, you know, you only average 9,500 fans in attendance for home games. That's 28-30. And there was some talk, rumors about spending half the year in Montreal, which I thought was ridiculous. And it was rejected by the MLB recently. But your owner, Stuart Sternberg, he seemed to be disappointed. I mean, what's that say to the fan base? I mean,
he is the worst owner in professional sports. And I'm not going to sit here and say that the Tampa Bay Rays don't have a great product. They do, to a certain degree.
They do. Yeah.
But when your ownership every year comes out and says to the blue collar people here, and you know about blue collar people, you just don't rub them the wrong way. When you say, look, I can't sustain, I want to go somewhere else. I'm cutting salary. I'm cutting fan favorites. Well, you continue to cut fan favorites. And this goes all the way back to Carl Crawford and James Shields and players like that. And then you alienate yourself. You're not endearing yourself. You're acting like a New York guy that doesn't want to be here. He's even gone on record to say he's a Mets fan. So you continue to do that year in and year out. You cut fan favorites. And then the location of the stadium in itself is not great. Everybody knows that this stadium should be in the Tampa Bay area, namely downtown Tampa. That's a whole mix of the reason why you have what you have. And the national narrative is, well, you don't have fans down here. You do have fans down here. You do. And you know why you know you have fans down here? Because the Tampa Bay Lightning can be supported. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers can be supported. But here's the difference, guys. Those ownerships are all in. Stu Sternberg is looking at other cities, talking to Montreal. He isn't all in. And they know that, that being the fans, who's all in and who's not. And that's the reason why you're getting 9,500 attending Rays games.
And he's on the record as admitting to being a Mets fan. Well, therein lies the problem.
Right. Because here's the thing. If I'm an owner of a team and I want to draw you out and I want to make sure that you're not a Yankee or you're a Philly or a Cub fan, I want to turn you over to be a Rays fan, but you're telling me I'm still a Mets fan, then why should I change my allegiance if you feel that way too? I can't do it. And that's the reason why I hope Stu Sternberg sells this team. They need to sell this team to a guy like Jeff Vinnick, who owns the Tampa Bay Lightning and knows that he can get the fan support, or the Glazers, who went all in with Tom Brady 2 years in a row, bringing back the whole team. That's what fans want. We have fans like Philly fans that love their teams. We just have to be loved by the owners.
You know, Peter, I want to thank you, first of all, for giving me a vine into Tampa every week, man.
Yeah.
Just so blessed to be a part of that down there. And I know we like to get this thing really opened up with all the guests on the show, the Liberty Bell Smack. And I know Claudio's got some MMA feedback and stuff like that. So, Claudio, you got any questions to Peter out there in Tampa? Put the Berg on the map, baby. Put the Berg on the map.
But yeah, I do want to ask you something. I host a TV boxing show that's gone national, thank God. But we cover obviously today's fighters, but I think the fighters of the 70s and 80s and 90s were a little better than they are now, not only in the ring, but, you know, the personality, the personas, you know, for example, there's no Sugar Ray Leonard's, Duran's, Hagler and Hearns. What do you think about today's fighters? I'm 57. I don't know how old you are, but today's fighters compared to the fighters of that era.
That's the problem. I mean, and that's the great thing about Jake Paul, right? I mean, he's a YouTube sensation, but he brings personality. He's bringing that. I'm 43 years old. I remember those fighters, and I remember it's a big deal. And look, at the end of the day, in order to make boxing relevant again, and I still think it is relevant to the hardcore fans, but to the casual fan, you have to step outside of the box. And that's the great thing about Paul and some of these other fighters, what they're doing. You know, you have publicity out there for the sport. We need more of that. We need more promotion of these fighters. And I think, honestly, going back to what Jake Paul does, a lot of people will focus on his antics. But you knowing, being an MMA guy, you know that he's trying to get those fighters from Dana White paid more. So at the end of the day, yes, you're exactly right. We need more promotion for boxing. It needs to be on the map. It needs to be an event. The problem is that you're not promoting your fighters. And then on top of it, the pay-per-views.
Right.
People are not going to pay $50, $60 with guys that they can't, you know, really identify with or have compelling stories. You got to build those characters up. You got to build those storylines. That's why the NFL is king, because there's a storyline almost every week. You know, coming up this week, you got Tampa Bay versus the Rams. There's a revenge, but there's also history. You've got Buffalo versus Kansas City. There's a history there. Buffalo getting, there's always a storyline. Boxing needs to create that. They need to have that, and they don't have that.
You're exactly right. A couple things. Number one, I was an MMA guy for a very small period because I promoted MMA and an MMA event, one event. And let's just say that I got beat up more than the fighters did. I lost money. I said, the hell with it. I'm done. Right. But I never did that again. But I've always been a boxing guy since I was a little kid because my parents were into boxing. But, you know, think about this. And you hit it on the head. Pay-per-views should be the Super Bowl fight, the crossover fight, the big name fights. Now, you know, the number eight guys fighting number nine guy, and he's on pay-per-view for, you just can't do that. But if you remember, for example, ABC, they had the guy with the big smile, the Olympic gold medalist, Sugar Ray Leonard. Mm-hmm. On CBS, they had the Italian kid who wanted to win the belt for his dad, Boom Boom Mancini. NBC Sports World, they had the flashy Italian kid, Vinny Pazienza, or, you know, but there was always a story behind it. When Mike Tyson fought Buster Douglas on February 12th, 1990, I knew who Buster was. But, you know, it was going to be, I used to watch all the fights with my dad, but this fight, me and my friends went to another friend to watch it, and we didn't expect much. And then they told Buster's story about his mother passing away. My mom had recently passed away. That's it. That's my guy. They told the story. You know, you have to let every, if not, if you don't tell a story, you're basically just two guys fighting.
Right.
Everybody has a story within, all of us. And there's somebody out there that we can connect to. And so I'm with you. You have to have tell a story. And the pay-per-views should only be the, like in WWE, they used to have WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. That was it. But now they have In Your House and Royal Rumble. They have every month as a pay-per-view. And it just waters it down, in my opinion.
Well, I agree. What you have to do, I'm sorry. What you have to do is highlight the good characters and get away from the thugs like the Whitakers and all. Like they promote that, you know, like they make you hate this person. Of course, that does garner some viewership. But, you know, I agree with what he said. You have to highlight the good stories behind the good fighters.
Well, even then, if you have a heel, if you have a guy that's a heel, I mean, you can definitely build a story around that, but you also have good guys. You have to promote that. And you talked about WWE. Yeah. I talked with the madman right there, Mark Mancini, on my show. The problem with WWE right now is they're not doing enough character development. They're not doing enough storytelling. And that's why people are going to other wrestling organizations or turning it off. People want to be.
You know what, though? If I can interrupt, I was a huge every night because my mind is constantly on my businesses or my family first and my businesses constantly. The only time my mind quits running is late at night. I watch old wrestling stuff from the 70s and the 80s. Now, those guys, like you just said right there, Peter, the WWE has to develop characters. Back then, those characters were they developed themselves. They were natural. They were from the heart up, not the neck up. Now it is fake. 42 years ago, I believe in a couple days, was the Bruno Sammartino Larry Zbyszko feud when Larry hit him over the head with the chair. Okay, I don't know if any of you guys remember that.
Yep. Yeah.
When we heard about it, we used to watch it at midnight. We heard about it at noon, and we didn't believe the guy who told us that. They said, yeah, okay. I'm telling you, we cracked him over the head. Then we saw it at noon, at midnight. We tried to call each other, but you know, there was no call waiting back then. Right? Everybody's lines busy. We were trying to get a hold of each other, but it was more believable. Those guys were unbelievable.
You know why? You know why? That was one of the few unchoreographed chair smackings in the game. That's why.
Well, yeah. But I mean, that whole era.
Yeah.
You believed in those guys. And I remember the fans at Civic Arena. I used to go every month from 1980 to late 82. And I went periodically after that, obviously. But every single month, never missed a month. But you would hear the fans, boy, I hope Bruno wins, or I hope Tony Atlas wins. They would actually talk strategy because you believed in those wrestlers. Now, I just can't get into it now anymore.
Yeah.
Cal, you and I, did you hear the breaking news? You and I got traded to Montreal for Peter Blake and Claudio. Marianne's impressed with the plaques and the Rolex watch. So we'll be doing the show from Montreal. Start brushing up on your French, Sal.
By the way, anybody thinks about trying to move to Montreal? They lost their team to Washington. Does that make sense? And oh, by the way, it's tough enough to get one stadium for $892 million off of the taxpayers' back. Let's try to get two. That makes sense. Come on. I mean,
the good news is there's a large Italian contingent in Montreal, Mark. So
that's right.
We'll eat well. We'll eat well.
Maybe we can get somebody to sponsor us out in Montreal to get us a Rolex and we get Marianne back.
Oh, she's not coming with us? She's staying with these guys? Ah, we really lost.
I'm not a traitor. Don't worry.
That's great.
It's hard to believe that this hour goes by so fast here on Liberty Bell Smack with such great energetic guests and quite the resumes, shall I say. And Claudia, you have your book. Where can our listeners find your book?
The best place is on my website, which you can also hear my show, the Claudio Rossano Show, which I've had guys from, I have Dick Vermeil, Vince Papale, Mario Andretti. I don't have just all Italians. That's just what I'm mentioning right now. But you can get it on my website, ClaudioRossano.com, JohnMelvinPublishing.com, and of course, Amazon.
And if they want your classes for hitting person in person and online, do they go to the same place?
They can get me for hitting, business consulting, whatever they want. If they want me to dress up like a clown, if the check clears, I'll do it. Go to my website.
That's part of your celebrity branding. That's how I look at it. And yeah. Peter, yeah. You're sitting there so nice and you're all over. And at least we all know you have a Rolex watch. Do you know what model number they gave you?
It is a Datejust 41. So that's what I'm told. And I got it appraised. It's like $20,000. And he signed the box. So it may actually be worth more than that.
So that means it's not a watch. It is now officially a timepiece.
That's it. There you go.
That's how I look at it. And where can we find you and all your shows week after week, day after day? Where can we find them?
I mean, go friend me on Facebook, Peter H. Blake. Of course, look at I Love St. Pete, The Hub. On Facebook, go like and subscribe to the Sports Web and do three things for me, guys. We all say this after the end of the show and before the show starts. Bring your passion, bring your excitement. Just don't bring any nonsense. I'm your host, Peter Blake, your Rolex reporter.
I would be remiss if I didn't say one thing about the boxing show. I have two great guys that are co-hosts with me, Luther Dupree Jr., Smoking Jim Frazier, again, live.vivetv.network. Wow. They're great guys. It's a great show. It really is.
Nice. And,
like, you know, do you guys have the same time frame for your shows, or are there different days, different times? That's the question. What do we watch?
If you go on, we're here in Pittsburgh. It's all over it's on channel. It doesn't matter because you guys are going to see it out there. But you can see it again on live.vivetv.network, but it's on two shows a week, and there's a program schedule there. The show's called Boxing Authorities, and we're on all the time. So, yeah, so just go on that.
Claudio, tell him you're good friends. Tell him you're good friends. Vinny Pazienza, that's your good friend, buddy.
Vinny just got inducted yesterday into the International Sports Hall of Fame, which I'm going to go see him in March 5th in Columbus, Ohio. Vinny, if you don't know, 5-time world champion, 3 yeah. world titles, broke his neck, couldn't yeah. walk for a little while. You know, then he came back and won 2 more world titles. They made a movie of his life, Bleed for This. Vinny Me. Is love Vinny. Vinny's a brother, and love him more than anything.
Paz, man.
We would love to have you both back on.
Oh, man.
Claudio and Peter, can you hang out just a few minutes? Because we love to end our show with our Liberty Bell Smack chant, and we'd love you to be part of it. Can you hang out for a minute?
Absolutely.
Of course.
Okay, that's great. Well, Mark and Sal, it's that time to tell you that we will be back next Thursday night from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, drive time. And that is prime time right here in the East. And next week, we have VIP coach, 2-time number one best-selling author and speaker, Danette May. And we have creator of the Utopian Baseball Universe and host of Having a Catch, Joey Buchholz. So that should be a fun show.
It should be. They keep getting greater and greater each week. And boy, I love Peter and Claudio. And man, after this, we got to get them to do a promo for us. Learn how to skate and bring a hockey stick, Sal. We're in Montreal next week.
Sal took off already. He's like, I'm packing. I'm getting out of here. I think he's lining up for his
More
Rolex watch. Absolutely. I can't help it. And I have to tell you, Mark, it's like doing research on all these guests. I got to tell you, I had some fun last night. So if our guests tonight, Peter and Claudio, if their ears were ringing like 4 o'clock in the morning on Eastern Standard Time, yes, I was still researching, finding things out. And they're absolutely fascinating. So each week it gets better and better here on Liberty Bell Smack. We love all our guests. We love them to come back. And we love to end every show with our Liberty Bell Smack chant. And what we do is we count down from 5 to 1, and then we all say Liberty Bell Smack.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah,
I think I can do that.
Do you think you guys can actually do it in unison?
Yes.
Or is this like a take 1 and a take 2?
I think we can do it. What do you think, Claudio? Can you do it?
Do you think
I think we can do it.
Okay. We can do it.
All right.
Give it a shot.
All right. If we can't do it and we don't get it right, we're doing it again. Okay. Just telling you. All right. Five.
We're going to mess up and keep doing it over and
See?
Over.
There's take 2 already. You ready?
Yes.
5.
4.
3. 2.
1.
Liberty Bell Smack.